We were discussing different perspectives on the Ra'ah, and I think we're talking about the Beis Halevi. Yeah, so let's talk. Let's finish talking about that. First of all, David is here or not here? David Schwartz. Not here? No. Okay, so he mentioned to me that, again, we were talking about the Ra'ah and whether or not... here it is, yeah. We were talking about the Ra'ah and whether or not it's possible to interpret the Ra'ah in different ways. It certainly is. The Beit Halevi's view, as we discussed, was that Cheses Kashrus is Koveya. We'll discuss that a little bit more in just a couple of minutes. I was suggesting a different read for the Ra'ah, and that is that the fact that the Kpeda on a proper Shkita and the role that it plays in terms of Kedushas Yisrael, you know, is the fact that that is the basis of the chutzpah or the rove, you know, that that somehow treats that rove as a kind of a, you know, a rove, you know, she'en bav, even though there is practically a miyuta, you know, a miyuta matsui, or a miyuta nikar, but that since al pidin it has to do with that attitude, I was suggesting that that might catapult it into the kind of rove, which is mevarer, not machria. I don't know if I'd go so far as say there's no latest osafek. Maybe even if there's no latest osafek, even if it's not within cheskes kashrus, but it's based on the idea of rove. So David mentioned to me that Rabbeinu David, who's another Talmud of the Ramban, you know, I don't know whether we should make much of that, but like the Ra'ah was a Talmud of the Ramban, in Psachim, and so you're there, on Daptes, when he talks about Chaber, I didn't get a chance to check the actual reference, says something very similar, namely, wow, I never saw you do that before.
It only happens before Shir.
What?
It only happens before
Shir. Oh. Oh, okay, I got it. Yeah. I thought before Shir is just like Avrami doing stuff. And, okay. Live and learn. So I thank you again. Physical exertion in addition to everything else. Yeah, so the idea that, you know, that if they have a robe which is based on Chaber, you know, he's again, I have to look at the language, that that's, you know, that catapults it into being a different kind of a robe, even if it is within robe. There certainly is, I have to look at that line, Rabbeinu David, but certainly in Rishonim and Achronim, there is a suggestion, that's something I was going to mention anyway, to distinguish between natural robes and conventional robes with regard to some of the issues like in Hokum Mobinachar robe, maybe even things like we're talking about here, you know, smoke mutal chazaka, epshel barer, etc. Now, at the end of the day, again, just to make it clear, and we'll go over this territory one more time. We talked finally about the Ritva and the Mishmeres Habayis, but in terms of numbers, at the end of the day, there's no difference between a conventional robe and a natural robe, right? By which I mean, let me explain what I mean. I mean a natural robe, meaning something that is built in or cooked into or is connected to, you know, human nature, right? Physical human nature, psychological human nature. But psychological human nature, you know, there's that, that, you know, that mostly, let's say, is based into, you know, based on the human psyche, not just on conventional robe is something like, you know, what people do, happen to do in a particular society. It doesn't have to be natural, you know, at all. Like you're bombarded, let's say, in society with certain etiquettes or attitudes, you know, in a particular time, or people just what they happen to be doing, you know, how many people are wearing gray ties, how many people are, you know, are wearing sweaters, you know, when the weather is, well, maybe that is a little more natural, but whatever, you get the idea. I mean, there are conventional robes that apply in a particular place and time, and then there are robes that are based on, you know, natural law, you know, again, psychological factors, you know, that are more objective. In the end of the day, there's no rule, you know, obviously, that makes one, you know, more likely than the other. I mean, the ratio of rov and miut has nothing to do with whether something is a natural or a conventional, you know, a pragmatic, you know, rov. So why would that ever figure into the question of azlina basa rov, yes or no? Just like I mentioned the other day, rubidisa come on, rubidalisa come on. Have nothing to do with numbers. They have everything to do with, you know, the formal question, lekula or lechumra, the fact that the miyut is staring you in the face, or the fact that the rov isn't just some abstract thing, but it's right here and present. But the number, let's say in all cases the numbers are 73%, or whatever. You know, in some cases the numbers are higher for the, let's say numbers are higher for a conventional rov and lower for a natural rov, right? But, you know, within a spectrum, let's say. And we're still giving zchut b'chora to the natural one. Right? But the reason is, because again, there's a formal question in all these things as well, and that is, to what extent, right, do we have a right, you know, to say that the rov is mevarer, not just machria? So you've got to understand that, you know, that might not just depend on the numbers, that might depend on how natural the rov is. So similarly, that's again, I have to look at the language that in Rabbeinu David, I didn't get a chance, but the idea that a rov that is based on religious stature, like a chaver, or on the fact that people, you know, have a certain perspective, let's say, on shechita, and, you know, a certain taboo orientation towards nevela, know, etc. Even if it doesn't change the numbers, the idea that that might be al pidin treated, you know, as a mevarer rather than a machria, there's plenty of precedent, is what I'm trying to say, you know, for that, and to escape the, you know, the more pragmatic. Again, if one would have said that numbers always matter, you know, then that would have been a very reasonable, you know, perspective in the philosophy of halakha. That would have been the normal perspective that you would expect, you know, in any legal system. The more, you know, formal factors play a role, that is something that is mechudash. That is a different way of thinking, you know, about issues and problems, frankly. And therefore, that is what I meant. He was just trying to give me another parallel, but that is exactly what I meant. And I was trying to suggest that the Ra'ah, of course the Ra'ah knows, you know, that it's not kol. I mean, everybody knows it's not kol. Again, it doesn't sound like the Ra'ah is saying what the Ritzvah is saying, you know, which is, you know, as long as you have Hakra and you have a Safek, so that's L'chadchila too. It doesn't sound that way in the Ra'ah, even though he's saying it for the Ra'ah. It sounds like what he's saying is, you know, al-pidin, this rov has a status of kol. So again, according to the Beis HaLevi, that's because cheskas kashrus. Fine, I understand that. The problem with the Beis HaLevi, as we've already noted, is twofold. Number one, what do you do with the rov, unless you want to say there wouldn't be cheskas kashrus if there wasn't first a rov? He doesn't say that. But even then, you know, he kind of ignores the rov. And secondly, it's not so clear that the categories of cheskas kashrus will apply in something like shechita. Say it applies in edus, and maybe even in eidach mem and bisurit. Maybe even in issues where we're talking about, you know, being chashud and lying. You know, that's a third level already. Makes sense. But the idea that, oh, you wouldn't be a mechutzef, you know, to try your hand at shechita, which you may end up getting right, and even if you don't, you know, it's not like you're lying. You're not explicitly lying about it. Why? What does that do with kashrus and cheskas kashrus? Again, the Beis HaLevi thinks a lot. He thinks it does. That's also, I think, a powerful. I think it's because he believes that. Oh, he doesn't say it. But and again, it works in with the language of the Ra'ah. Because shechita and the Isur Nevela have a certain cachet halachically. You know, so maybe that even, you know, qualifies, you know, for something, for a cheskas kashrus type of din. I don't think that the, you know, there's such a big distance between you know, what I'm saying and what the Beis Halevi is saying, again, conceptually, but it is still a different category. So that's really the idea that we're trying to express. But the Beis Halevi, I say, doesn't go that way. And he, I keep looking for the right pages, he instead goes on to suggest numerous nafkamina. I just want to talk about them for another minute or two. That distinguish Keskes Kasher. He really thinks the Ra'ah holds Keskes Kasher, and that the Rajba, he thinks that the Ra'ah and Rambam hold Keskes Kasher, and that the Rajba and Balei Tosis do not. And on the basis of that, he suggests several nafkamina. I'll talk about this in a second, some of which I already mentioned. The first one, of course, is the issues themselves, whether you say, chosh shel miut, efshel v'artzor v'barer, are you worried about miut in terms of smoch, miuta l'chazaka, and palgo or itrale, ruba, whenever you're, focused on keskes kashrus, you're never going to worry about any of those things. I should also add that his another leap, in, teeny leap, no, mid-sized leap, in the Beis Halevi is the equation of, it's the idea that this is Keskes Kasher. It's the idea that Keskes Kasher has nothing to do with Roh. These are also big confusion. But it's also the idea that Keskes Kasher is totally equatable to Erechanem Bisurin, right? Meaning that when you do a shechita, and you have Keskes Kasheros, it's the equivalent of you're making a statement, that the behema is kshet. The truth is, again, because he thinks, I think, what brought him to this is, why does, Rov Mitzvi Neisov Shechita Mubkenheim, how does that, I think he's troubled a little bit, maybe, without articulating about, what I'm trying to bring up, which is, why is that Keskes Kasher? But if it's implicit, that, yotza mitachas yadi, davar, she, efshar shehu nevela, Cole is in here, while I'm speaking Hebrew, right? But if that's the case, so then, if it's implicit, that's kind of erechonem b'yisurim, then you just, it reduces to that and becomes Keskes Kasheros, in that light. So at the point in the Beis Halevi towards the beginning, he kind of transitions away from just emphasizing Keskes Kasheros to substituting for Keskes Kasheros the idea of Edecha Neman Surin. And as I said, I don't think that those necessarily have to be... I think that there is Keskes Kasheros, which is at the base of certainly Nemanus and Eidos, maybe even Erech Onem Bisurim, but the idea that every time you're dealing with Keskes Kasheros, that, there's an implicit Erech Onem Bisurim, or that it's limited to Erech Onem Bisurim, I'm not sure that is Mukhrach at all. Anyways, he then goes on to explain that there are several nafkamina. So one is in a situation where you have some reason to be choshed, like Nignava. I think I mentioned this last time. Right? The Tosefta, Tosas already quotes it. Tosas says, Roman Tzur Netzel Shkita Mumkenhein probably applies to a Ganav too. Because just because he's a Ganav, that doesn't mean he's a Mechutzav to take up a Shkita knife and Shech. Right? But, says the Beis Halevi, if it's about Keskes Kasheros and Enecha Nemer Mitzurin, right? Okay? All right. If the Vat Cheskes Kasher is an Erecha Nema Bisurim, then you can lose that. When you're a god. Okay. So that's his again. Very impressive. You start thinking a certain way. Again, it illuminates other things. That's what we mean by it. Once you're thinking Cheskes Kasher, the omission of that Tosefta, you know, becomes something that is more explainable. Kesef Kashrus doesn't apply to a god. And similarly, but again, what's fascinating here is that you went from a kula, right, to a chumra, right? And again, that's important too. Meaning, Kesef Kashrus is introduced by the Beis Halevi for Omen Tunei Tashkita Mumchen Hein as a kula, right? In other words, we're going to treat this as kol, not as robe. We're not going to require birur, even if afshar, you know, levar. And there's not going to be any smoke miutas or anything like that because it's Kesef Kashrus. Right? Who'd have thought, you know, that it also limits this. So anytime there could be a rove, you know, based on people's you know, predilection, their proclivity, you know, to have the temerity, to the presumptuousness, you know, to be showcased when they're not trained and don't know the halachos, yes or no, that rove can exist even for somebody who's not trustworthy or loses his formal cheskes kashrus, right, like a gana. So that, he suggests, is also the argument about mumar, right? Most, you know, I think Achronim understood that the debate in the Rishonim whether a mumar l'teyavon has rov mitzunei tashkita mumchenei was a umdina question, right? As is the ganav question. Meaning, you know, does this, you know, presumptive, you know, state about presumptuousness, you know, does it apply, you know, also to Abaryanim, or Chashidim, or Mumrim, right? You know, if you're already a Mumar, right, so maybe you don't have these kind of inhibitions. And the Beis Halevi is suggesting has nothing to do with that. The Rove, he's saying, applies. You know, they did a poll. They took a poll. You know, they did a good job with it, and they realized that, you know, even a Mumar and even a Ganav are unlikely to do this. But there's no Cheskes Kashrus anymore. Again, the assumption is that the rove isn't independent of the Cheskes Kashrus. You could have said, well, I mean, you could have had an interesting situation, according to Beis Halevi. Say, all the kol dinim, you know, are based on Cheskes Kashrus. But there's still rove dinim, because it's still a rove. Right? So, but Beis Halevi isn't buying it. You know, he really thinks that, I'm not sure why. But just, I'm not sure 100% what he does with the language of the Gemara in this. But he touches on it, but he doesn't answer it. So the Chumrah of Geneva and the Chumrah of a Mumar, and again, it happens that they all works out very well on the Mumar part. Again, from my point of view, another way that the Ra'ah will work out anyway, because, you know, if the Rove is based on, you know, this Kepeda, the taboo, the Kedushas Yisrael, or whatever, you still might get that as a rove, right? I'm sorry, as a call, not as a rove, but yeah.
Doesn't the Ra'ah say that if this wasn't a hakol, it wouldn't work at all? If this wasn't hakol, then
yes,
it wouldn't work no matter what. It would be paga-paga.
Well, because of paga-paga? That's his raya. So he's saying that would work for the Ra'ah. Ah, I see. Okay. So he's saying, why isn't there at least a rove? The answer is because he thinks that once his rove, it's paga-paga. It doesn't help for the Rambam,
right,
or other people who don't hold that way. And that's a bit of a controversial issue too, which we'll get to in a second. That's a good point. Shai is saying that, you know, the answer to the question why there isn't also a rove for the Ra'ah is smoke miuta lechazaka, you know, and palga, right? Good. Yeah, I'm a kabbal of that. I just don't think it helps for the Rambam unless you think that he that way too. Okay, so another nafkamina would also be, according to the Beis Halevi, just to count them, let's say you don't know that something was nishchat kiroi, like it was just nishchat. So he points out that the Rambam, and he thinks the Ra'ah, don't ever mention that something has to show up and be nishchat kiroi. So, again, if the idea is that, you know, by not saying anything, you know, you have a cheskes kashrus and an eidechot naman b'yisurim, that doesn't really matter. As long as you have cheskes kashrus, you have cheskes kashrus. And the person's not going to be motzi mitapas yado, anything. But If you're talking about Rov Mitzvah Netzel Shechita being, you know, about presumptuousness, so then it's only something that shows up, you know, as being Shachot Kiroi, where he's trying to be a real Shochet. You know, but just because he walks around or he finds a chicken in his house, you know, that doesn't mean anything. That's a suggestion. A more intriguing suggestion is whether or not you could be mechalek between Yoredeya and Chosha Mishpah. Okay? Anybody catch that one? Did you see it, Ellie? No? Are you? So? Meaning, the sugya of Tabach Uman Shekilkel, the sugya in Bamatzia, about that topic. And the question is whether or not, I'm sorry, Baba Kama, well, on that topic, Tabach Uman Shekilkel, does the fact, do you apply the din of Rov Mitzvah Netzel Shechita Mumchenheim, you know, to that case or not? So the Beis Halevi points out that that's a big, seems to be a discussion in Yoredeya. The Shach in Yoredeya, Siman Aleph, seems to say that it doesn't apply, and the Prima Gadin, Rabbi Kenegger, and others, they all weigh in on this question. So his, again, kind of ingenious explanation is that if we're talking about Rove, so then, you know, assuming Rove works also in Dina Mamanis, I mean, again, it's a little tricky, but as I mentioned, that's a big focus on Rishonim in general, you know, whether Ein Hocham B'Mamon Achar Rove is the exception or the rule. Okay. But what he does say is that the din of Eidecha Nemon B'Surim, which he's now equating with Cheskes Kashrus, that certainly shouldn't apply in Choshev Mishpat. So the idea that Rov Mitzvah Netzel Shechita Mumchenheim would apply is only if you think that there's no din of Cheskes Kashrus. Okay, so that's another example. Another issue that he discusses, which of course again is related to the question of equating Cheskes Kashrus with Eidechanem Bisurim, is the question of Biyado. I think I mentioned that. If you hold that Eidechanem Bisurim is only Neman, Kenegit is Chazik Asura, when there is Biyado, if there's no longer Biyado and Shechita, right, so what happens? So these are the course that we saw earlier in the year. Rav Tosfos in Gittin says, well, in the end of the day, it's not such a big deal because it's still Rov Mitzvah Netzel Shechita Mumchenheim. The Beis Halevi says, not if Rov Mitzvah Netzel Shechita Mumchenheim is based on Eidecha Nemen Bisurin and Cheskes Kashrus, then it really does depend on Biyado. So, again, these are all examples where you know, whether you can split off, you know, one from the other, the you know, the question of Cheskes Kashrus, Eidecha Nemen Bisurim, he thinks are one, I'm not so sure about that, and the question of Rov. Okay? Again, I think that there could be another approach to all this, but that's what it is. And then at the end of the piece, I think I already mentioned, he kind of flips the whole thing around, and I don't really understand that part, so you can look it up if anybody has a good, you know, solution. You know, let us all know. But I think I read that part last time already, where he basically says that, you know, even if it's a din of Cheskes Kashrus, Shechita is such a easy... again, he could have said Shechita is so significant that we take extra precautions. He doesn't say it that way. He says Shechita is so easy, you know, to corrupt that we're not going to rely even l'chatchila, we're not going to rely l'chatchila even, I should say, on Cheskes Kashrus. But we would on a Rove, right? And then it flips everything on. Okay. I should also add this before we continue that there's a discussion on the acronym in general, what Bali Tosa's view is on Rov Mitzvah Netzel Shechita Mumchenheim, based on the one on Gimel Amud Beis. Tosa here discusses the fact that in the Chatzila you could apply Rov Mitzvah Netzel Shechita Mumchenheim. Beis Halevi touches on this too. Dibra Masa Rov Mitzvah Netzel Shechita Mumchenheim. Because the Shochtin Af Lechatzila. Avalin Lefarish with the Evenu, Avish Kitasek Sheira, Apagav Sheinak Erev Rovel, so, Lamatzi Lamukmi, Masisim b'hachi. So basically, he says l'chatchila. What's not clear is that Tosfos think like the Balamor and the and the Ritva that Roman Sina Tzushkita Mumtein literally means l'chatchila. You know, either because again we legally, we basically negate the significance of the miut, or because Azina Basarov is a l'chatchila like the Ritva, or does he mean that in Ef Shalabarer, that you can be Shochet L'chatchila, or does he mean that in Ef Shalabarer Achar Hashkita, that you can be Shochet L'chatchila? Right? One of those three. That's unclear. So I just want to spend one more minute on that, or on two more issues that the Beis Halevi talks about. That's the one in Siman A. Yeah?
Is that the last point, the third option? Isn't
he explicit in
the
Gemara that you can't rely on the Chachila
and back to the
other
position?
Is that explicit? If you hold Romitzi and
Eitzel Shri.
That's all it depends on the Ravina. Okay. Yeah. So in Siman Hay, the... they still even discuss it, the view of the Bala Itur. Anybody see it? We know somebody saw it last time because we saw the wrong one, right? I may or may not have given the wrong one. What?
The wrong one that everybody saw was Zion.
Oh, you saw Zion. Okay. No one saw Hay. Okay.
That's
not Zion. Anyway, so there's an interesting question. I don't want to spend much time on it because I want to move on, but the question is as follows. Go ahead. You saw it? What?
Yeah,
it's Bala Itur. He talks about the Bala Itur Shita, yeah.
That you can check with Chachila as long as after the fact you can go ahead and check
out. Or you can't, but right.
Can't. Then afterwards you can rely on it.
Can you? This is a question. There are three questions. Number one, just to be aware of these questions, because they're pratim in halacha at minimum. They also may reflect more than that, but... the Mokum She'i Afshar Levarer, according to the Mandamar, Afshar Levarer Tzorech Levarer. Okay, if it's E Afshar Levarer, can you be Shoket L'chatchila? Or only B'diyah? That's one question. Right. Meaning, there's something, missing, something lacking, because we're always a little squeamish when we have a Rovin Amiyot. Right? And that's reflected by Efshar Levarer Tzorech Levarer. But even if Efshar Levarer, right, we're squeamish. Just that squeamishness, requires us, Al Pidin, to be Levarer. But even if we can't be Levarer, we're still squeamish. So it's still only B'dieved, not L'chatchila. Is that the case or not? That's one question. Second question is, let's say Efshar Levarer Tzorech Levarer is always Efshar Levarer Tzorech Levarer, but let me make clear the first question, as opposed to saying there's nothing wrong with relying on a rove, especially this kind of rove, right? But if Efshar Levarer Tzorech Levarer, meaning the Efshar Levarer is Mechayev Biur, of course the easiest way to say that would be what I call the Pnei Yeshua way, which is Efshar Levarer is not a safek. But, if it's not Efshar Levarer, then the Chatchila you can do this. Even if you wanted to say that Efshar Levarer is a better Birur, right? But again, if there's no better Birur, then that doesn't mean that it's B'dieved, right? So that's question number one. Question number two is the question of, can you be, let's say Efshar Levarer, Tzorech Levarer, can you be Shochet Almanas Levarer Acharkach, or do you have to be Mavarer Koda? Right? So in the end, the Beis Halevi thinks that that's a debate. He thinks all these things are debated. I'll explain it in a second. Okay? That's a question. Everybody got that? Can you rely on Birur afterwards to fulfill that requirement, or do you need to be Mavarer Koda? I guess it could be a baltashkus element too, but I mean more from the, you know, from the rove and miyuk point of view. That's the second question. And the third question is, is it possible in Efshel Levar Tzorach Levarer that dafka kodem we require biur, but if you didn't, then even as a lechatchila, even when it's possible, we don't require afterwards. Okay, so these are all fraught with all sorts of implications, obviously. So this is what Simon Hay of the Beis Halevi is all about. Okay, he thinks that the majority view, let's say the Gaonim that Ramban quotes, etc. And again, it's a little relevant to, you know, the Tosas that I just brought up a second ago, where Tosas says you can do it lechatchila. We're just not sure what he means by that. Does he mean like the Balamor, right? Or does he mean you can do it lechatchila as long as your intention is to be mavarer, you know, afterwards? Or does he mean if you don't have any biur possibility at all, then you can do it lechatchila? Right. Two of those are overlapping at this point. Anyways, the Bala Itur and Yor Zarua, a group of Rishonim have a very novel view, and that is that Efshel Levar Tzorach Levarer is only a din in Kodem Shechita. But then once you do the Shechita, Ein Tzorach Levarer, even if Efshel Levarer. It's a din in Shechita, not a din in the kashrus of the animal. That's very mechudash. So the basic idea, the Beis Halevi says, oh, this is the tremendous kula of the Bala Itur and the Or Zeruah, that they think that, you know, Efshel Levarer only is required before. So he said, oh, for sure they'll hold of another kula then, right? Namely, that, you know, you can even lechatchila do the shechita as long as your intention is to be mevarer achar kach. Right? If you're mekel, you don't even need the achar kach, you know, then certainly you're going to be even more mekel, right? Since you can rely on the achar kach. Because it does seem that at least the Gaonim quoted by the Ramban and others of the Poskim certainly hold at minimum, right, that you can do Shechita as long as you're going to be Mavar Achakach, right? They don't hold that once you did the Shechita, you don't need to be Mavar Achakach. You only need to be Mavar if you could before. So in the hierarchy, it sounds like the Balitra is more makeup. So then the Beis Halevi says, no, I don't think that's actually Beis Yosef seems to say that that's not true. That the Bala Itur is machmir in one respect and mekel in another, or say the other way. He's mekel that if, you know, that there's no requirement of biur achar shechita, but that he's machmir that if you have the ability to be mevarer lifnei shechita, to din in the shechita, then you have to be mevarer kodem. And you can't even be shochet al manas levarer achar kach. Then he goes further and he says, and what will all these poskim think about whether or not, if there's no possibility of biur at all, you know, do they still think this is a bidyavet or a chatchila? So he thinks, well, the others probably think it's all a chatchila. You know, because for them, you just always, you know, trying to do the best you can. So, you know, doing the best you can includes being flexible and being mavar afterwards, why not? You know, there's nothing wrong with the rove. And by the same token, so there's no yichus to the birur before more than the birur after, basically. It's, you know, if the birur is available, then it's koveya, chiyuv, to do the best. By the same token, if there's no birur available at all, there's no bidiyah, then it's lechatchila. Right? However, if you hold it, Bala Itur, his chumrah just shows that it's all front-loaded on the shechita. And, you know, it's really like the shechita itself is chaser, you know, without the prior birur that's possible. But that's always true, even if there's not possible. So it's always still a bit the eved. And for the same reason, you know, it wouldn't help to be shochet al manas levar achar kach, because it's a din, probably din drabanan, but a din drabanan in the vadai status of the shechita. That, you know, it's missing. Something's missing unless you are Bavara Kodin. All right, so that's an interesting discussion the Beis HaLevi. Okay. And then he has two other discussions. One is what happens. He doesn't understand why no one talks about the issue of, let's say you don't have a, just one more second, you don't have to muchsak as a shochet, right? And you just did it anyway. So you know the halachos, man. I'm talking about physically, like you never did shechita. Right? So if you went ahead and you did it, so he thinks, if you look carefully, there's a machlokas between, you know, the tour and the Rambam, for the b'di'eved, without previous experience, we, you know, the, again, the presumption is shechita asura, which is to do the tour, or b'di'eved, it's sheira. So I don't understand why the poskim are not, you know, highlighting this argument, because halacha l'maisa, that's a very important argument. Okay, so that's the other thing. And then finally, the last thing that basically we've talked about is the last thing we want to talk about, just to get back for a second anyway, and that is smoking yuzal l'chazaka v'itrole ruba. But let's talk about the Rishonim first, and then the Chornavah. First, there was a question. Josh had a question?
Yeah. One is it possible, especially since there's a view like in Rav Am that maybe even Ravina holds the position of Rav Mitzvi and Eichel Shri and Mosheim.
Say what?
That maybe even Ravina holds of Rav Mitzvi and Eichel Shri and Mosheim in the first Mishnah.
Yeah.
Is it possible that whatever the Eitzer is saying about, you know, meeting the Vedika up front and Shkita's front loaded, maybe that's all Ravina's saying in the first Mishnah, that I hold Rav Mitzvi in,
could be.
I need to know.
I mean, not that I don't believe in Rabbi Tzvi and Shkita Mubinin at all, but I just think that you always have to be, that it's missing something on the Shkita.
Right.
Huh. Okay.
Like, why would that be? Like, why would it be that also we need to be up front and not, you know, afterwards? Like, we're so harsh, we're so, like, strict about having it.
Because he doesn't think that the Mekayev is, you know, that it's kind of safek, you know, as long as you can be Mavar. He doesn't think that, you know, that a better biror, you know, is also mechayev you. He just thinks that midrabanan, at least, this sounds to me midrabanan, that the shkita, in order to do a maisa shkita, you have to have, you have to have greater, you have to build in greater certainty. Again, it's a fascinating idea.
Why wouldn't you say that afterwards?
Well, because it's close. He thinks it's a din in the Maisa Shkita, sounds like. So that once you did the Maisa Shkita, it's done. That's B'di'eved, the kasha, but that's already B'di'eved.
Why would that not?
It's not on the kasha, it's not on the basar. It's not on the achilas. It's not like the Eitzer thinks this isn't the din in the achilas of basar. It's a din in the Shkita. You shouldn't do Shkita except in circumstances that are more, you know, that guarantee, you know, a better result. It has to be the standard of the shechita. And therefore,
you can get, though.
What?
It's as guaranteed as you can get, because we're saying, yeah.
Well, how's it guaranteed?
Because even if Esher Levar aims at Levar at the end of the day.
What do you mean?
Meaning
no, that's the Eved. The Beis HaLevi is saying two things for the Eitzer. Number one, you could have thought, but the Beis Yosef says it's not true. That's what gets it for it. You could have thought the Bala Yitzhak is just a big mako. Right? Namely, he doesn't require birur when it's only available after the shechita. So that sounds like he's more mako. But the Beis Yosef says it isn't true. He says that the Bala Yitzhak holds that if you were shochet almanas levarer achakak, which works according to many, that wouldn't work for the Bala Yitzhak. So the Beis HaLevi says, you see from there that it's not a din in, he's not Mekel, right? He just thinks that the whole extra din, the extra requirement, is a din in the Shkita.
Not a din in certainty in the Shkita.
Certainty in the Shkita, or the level of the Shkita, not certainty in the Achilas Abasa.
It's not a certainty.
I mean, not certainty, but it's building in a better, it has to do with the quality of Shkita. This is all about the standard of the Shkita. Your shkita has to be on a, has to, you know, likely, has to pass a certain lechatchila, at least, threshold, right, of being kshera, right? But once you did it, you did it. It's not a din in the achilas basar. From an achilas basar kashra's point of view, It makes no difference whether you did the X, F should have R, for R was before or after. Right? And it can't be that the Tzorach Levara part is in the Kayev, because that, you know, if it's the F should have R, so what's the problem? So what he's saying is, look, probably Drabanan. L'chadchila, we have a higher standard for Maisa Shvita, one which makes, you know, more likely, you know, that it is a Shvita Ksher. But once you did the Shvita, then that's already, it's B'dieved. Because any birur that you can do afterwards isn't about the Maisa Shvita, right? It's about Igloi Milsa L'mafreya, the Kashrus of the Basar, because of the Maisa Shvita. This is a matir for the Maisa Shvita. That's so interesting about these. Okay, finally, yeah.
Might that be because you're losing, in some sense, the kiyum and perspective of Shemitah? The upfront, meaning after the fact you're eating kosher meat, but you're losing this Mishu Yirtel Lachol, Shiyisho Mishu Yirtel Lachol Basar, that she should go and be Shofet. You know, you're not going to be the Shofet yourself.
Maybe even like the Gavra, right? Or like,
say that again?
When you don't, when you're like relying on this person and you don't know beforehand,
yeah,
that whether he's a
mohar
or not, so it could be post
facto
because you're relying on his shvita, but you're losing out
on
the kiyum of the
perspective
of
shvita. Okay, isn't that the
ma'aseh
shvita?
Yeah,
no,
that's
not.
Oh, yeah.
No, 100%.
He's saying the rav.
Yeah, yeah.
They say the rav has
been
in like the minoi.
The din in
the? That minoi.
To explain what? This halacha?
Yeah, he adds it into the, like it being a din in the achir the lasha.
Uh-huh, well, minui has to do with the Gavra Shochet.
Right. So like
I don't think there's a din in the Gavra Shochet, but I do think it's a din in the Maisa Shkita, but I think what Nathan said about the relates to the Maisa Shkita. I mean, is this a Shkita that you could, you know, that you could see as a mitzvah? You know, as a significant religious, you know, performance? You know, that's in real time. So the answer is you want to build in the standards for that. The Rav said it's in the showcase?
I don't know the exact, I'm forgetting it. That's why I like...
I'm not familiar. I mean, he was saying about this base, about the...
Yeah, he quoted it there, and he said, it has to be the Maisa Shvita, but it's a din in, like,
I don't know if someone has it. Okay, I'll try to look it up.
It's the bold
it. Where is it?
In what?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I mean, is that based on Shiram that he gave?
Yeah.
Back in the day. Okay, I'll look at it. But yeah, no, I don't see, on surface that seems a little, I don't know. It seems to me more din in the Maisa Shvita, not so much as the din in the Gavra Shochet.
Yeah.
Okay. The Rav was big on saying that the Shochet has Srara on a minui, especially after there's a requirement. That's when we talked about the Isha thing. Yeah, that's for sure. But, interesting. I'll try to look at it. Okay. And then finally, it's longer, but, yeah. So the Ra'ah does have this line where he says that if it wasn't kol, right, then you would have had a problem, you know, of the effectiveness of Rov, because of smoke mute l'chazaka. Okay. So that's very interesting, of course, in its own right. And that's where the Ritva and the Rajba and Mishmeres Habayis, you know, weigh in and discuss when we say that halacha and when not. The contribution of the Beis Halevi to this, discusses this, is, you know, whether to distinguish between In a qualitative way, between... Oh, so you guys saw it. Who said they saw it the other day? Who saw Simon Zion originally? Oh, yeah. So what's the contribution of the Beis Halevi? Whether to distinguish between...
I mean, he said what the Mishmeres Habayis said in a very clear way that's much easier to understand.
Okay, that's a contribution to do. Clarity is good.
About the difference
between
Vada
and Mago with Zakai. Oh, we'll get that in a second. Okay. So basically, okay, let's go back. So basically, there are three. First of all, just an interesting. Minister Ra'ah is very, very important, right? This idea that because again, it goes to the question of, you know, when. What are the parameters? We'll get back to this later on in the year, but what are the parameters of, you know, Ruba v'chazaka Ruba? Right? In the sense that, how much of a threat is miut and smoke miut al chazaka, right, to every, to the effectiveness of every rope? So, it sounds like the Ra'ah is saying, you know, that unless you have a kol, it sounds like the Ra'ah should really be, you know, held, you know, to this position in many, many sugyas and shas. You know, we shouldn't be relying on robes, you know, and we should be smoke miyuta lechazaka, at least on the Rabbana level, you know, for the Rabbana, right? If not, you know, and certainly even more so, since he's in Daraisa from Meir, which isn't even Palga, but smoke miyuta lechazaka, itrale ruba. Okay, so if you don't say this, like, why wouldn't you say it? So in the Rishonim, let's say here, between the Ramban and the Ritva, and the Ritva and Yevamos and Kiddushin, and also Mishmer Sabayas, let's just to make it faster, we say we have three, let's say, Chilukim. Right? Shai? One is?
Bade Maga versus
Sapek Maga. Okay, so Bade Maga and Sapek Maga, and what is that based on? So who says that here? I mean, the Mishmer Sabayas has it. But before, the Ramban really says that. Right? And again, the Beis Levi didn't give him credit either here for some reason. He quotes the one on Savlonus in Kiddushin. Right? In Mechamos in Kiddushin, in the Sugya of Savlonus, right, they're, you know, gifts at the Chasam sends the Kala, so on. So, there the Ramban has, you know, it's a very important piece. When we get to Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adit, we'll get back to it later in the year. We'll talk about that, you know, Mechamos as well. But the truth is already the Ramban here says it explicitly, right in the very beginning. You have lines?
Yeah.
And not only that, but he has the, it's important the way he says it here, right in the beginning, right? Etc. Those lines, we just fleshed out already. What does that mean? Right, Shai? Yeah, in the beginning. Right in the beginning.
Right?
The Ika Chazaka Kenegdo. He's saying, no, it's Hova Kabbalah Hibiyad Rabbaseinu Aga'onim, that Efshel Levar Tzorch Levar Nekabel, the Sever Panim Yafos, Shazer Rov Eino Kevadai. How do you know it's not Kevadai? The Ika Chazaka Kenegdo. Right. Then the question is, but if that's the case, then why do we even rely on a b'di'evet? Right? That's what these words mean. Right? What do those words mean? Exactly. I mean, the Ramban is saying, right? And again, I made a little bit of a fuss about this when we read it, because I said, what are you talking about? Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Adi. So basically, the Ramban is saying, we say Ruba v'chazaka, saying two things. We say Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Adi, but like, you know, on the basis of what? Why is that true? Is that because a robe is stronger than a chazaka? Again, we will get back to this. We'll revisit this. Because there are a bunch of cases that we have to apply it to. You could say that a robe is stronger than a chazaka. How is a robe stronger than a chazaka? Why would a robe be stronger, Alex? Why would a robe be stronger than a chazaka? What? No, forget about the Ramban for a minute. I'm saying, we have a rule called Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adi. Right? Let's envision, let's think to ourselves, like, why would that be true? Why would that be true? And therefore, exactly. One way to say it is to say that Rove and Chazaka are different exactly in the respect that we've been talking about, but in this case, because of their natures, right? Namely, Rove, typically, is like, you know, there are numbers in a Rove, right? And therefore, it's more concrete, and maybe it's more of a Birur. Whereas a Chazaka is a typically, I'm not talking about the Chazaka, which is Ruba, the Leisa, Kaman, but a Chazaka is a presumptive state. It's a status quo ante. You know, it's a question of the burden of evidence to change things. It's a hakra. It's easier to say it's a hakra. Just because things were that way means that they still are that way? That's the idea? Or the idea is that, you know, the burden of proof always is always to establish change, right? The default is continuation. That's a hakra, though. Unless the burden of proof in a particular case also happens to clue in to the likelihood of change, right? Which some cases it can, maybe, then it's a little different, right? So to say that Rove is a Birur and Chazaka is a Hakra or something like that, or Rove is about the likelihood of change and Chazaka is about the evidential, you know, requirement, you know, to establish change, well, they're very different things. So Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif. Chazaka is very respected, you know, but Rove is more compelling, all things being equal. So we'll get to it later. What's the makar for chazaka? What's the makar for Rove? We'll talk. Basically, what Ramban here seems to be pointing to is, no, Rove is, you know, effective. Chazaka is effective, right? Who says that one is more, maybe they're different, you know, but that doesn't mean that one is more powerful than the other. They're both solutions, they're both, you know, appropriate solutions. So if they're both appropriate solutions, they should be equal. And you should say, at least midrabanan maybe, or according to a mayor, maybe even more, because smoke miyuta l'chazaka v'yitra l'ruba, right? However, says the Ramban here, the reason Ruba v'chazaka is Ruba adiv is because the Rove addresses and solves, it renders the chazaka irrelevant. It solves the chazaka. If you had these two independent forces, you know, and you decided for some reason that one wasn't more effective than the other, either they work the same way or they work differently, but they're equally, you know, strong, equally powerful. You know, that's one thing. But here you have the Rove addressing and rendering irrelevant the Chazaka. Harishchuta lefanecha. Now the question is whether the physical change, something has changed. The question is, has it changed enough? Now, not everybody holds this way. Not everybody agrees that this is what's going on here. Right? So, not everybody understands necessarily what this is. But that's what the Ramban means in Savlanus, so in Kiddushin, and what the Rajba in Mishmeres Habai is, and the others here, so that's Badai Magor. Okay. But what's fascinating about it, you might have said, and again, if you look at Rishonim in different places, some of them think yes, and some of them think no about this idea. You say, well, but it's still not clear that the Shkuta Lefanecha, you know, is a Shkita Kshera, right? It's a physical Shkuta, but is it a halakhic Shkuta, right? Or you say, no, that's filling, we fill in the gap. That's all they Rove. Rove is Mevarer, that the Shkita is a game changer. Is it, you know, it's kind of a catch 22 kind of an issue. There are a lot of issues going on here, but it's a very subtle topic. Okay. But basically what's fascinating is that even the Ramban and the Rajba, those who say Badei Maga here, right? This is where you get to the interesting part a little bit. Right? They don't deny that the Chazaka, you could have said, and that's what I was trying to say the other day, I'm just repeating now what I said a couple of days ago, but maybe now we're all in a better position to understand it. Right? You could have said that one, if Vade Maga is the reason that you don't say palgo palga or itra ruba according to Rami Meir, right, then maybe it's also a reason to completely dismiss, right, the role of the chazaka. Legabe what? Legabe afshe levar tarach levar. Being the Ramban, the whole point here is that the Ramban is having his cake and eating it too, which isn't the end of the world, right? But we just need to know that and know that it isn't so obvious. Meaning, the Ramban is saying, starts off by saying, of course, Efshel Levar Tzorach Levar, there's a Chazaka Keneged, right? But then he gets into trouble. Oh, there's a Chazaka Keneged, so why are we saying Ruba, the Chazaka Ruba Adif? The answer is because the Rove renders the Chazaka here irrelevant. It solves the Rove. Okay, so then why is the Chazaka relevant? Legabe, the question of Efshel Levar, right? So the Beis HaLevi, like, works hard to explain that just because we don't say smoke miyuta doesn't mean that the chazaka isn't still here. Yeah, that's already implicit in the Ramban. That's, by the way, first of all, it's Ramban here too, not just Ramban. That's exactly what the Ramban is saying. It's 100% right. But you didn't have to hold that thing. Either are people who think that Vade Maga is irrelevant. Obviously the Raw thinks that here. Right, because the Ra is saying if there was a miut, then we wouldn't care. Right, and there are those who will also tell you that if you do think that Vade Maga is important, then that should affect not only smoke miuta, but it should affect Efshel Levar too. Okay, that's very important. The Beis HaLevi has a little bit of a kiddush here where he says, in my opinion, I would have said that we should be mechalek between the Rabbanan, who say smoke miyuta lechazaka upalgo palga, and Rav Meir, who holds smoke miyuta lechazaka v'itrale ruba. This is interesting, right? Namely, that for the Rabbanan, vaday maga, you know, neutralizes the issue. But for Rav Meir, that it's a two holds it's in the Raisa, and that the miut and the chazaka overwhelm the rove, for him, maybe Vaday Maga is irrelevant. And he goes on to say, however, if you look at the Tosis Rid, like the Tosis Rid seems to say this idea, even for Rabbi Meir. This is an interesting question in general, this idea of the combined forces of miut and chazaka. Right, the difference between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is qualitative, like in the whole perspective of what Rove and Miut and Chazaka are all about. Different, or just, you know, or just a quantitative difference. That's what the Beis HaLevi is from. Okay, so that's one approach, and that's one issue, and we have to get, you know, this is all over Shas, whether you say this or not. The second, what's the second perspective?
If the Miut clashes with the Rove,
if the miut clashes with the rove, what do you mean clashes? There are two meanings of that. If the numbers of the miut, you know, are contradict the rove. So then what? Ironically?
Then the miut is good.
Then the miut is good or no good?
Well, the miut. If the mute makes the row smaller, right, through its cause, then it can count the mute. But if the mute is, if it exists,
then it counts and it's and it's and it connects up with the chazaka or the other way.
Then it does connect with.
But that's right. The other way, right? If the mute is in conflict with the rove, right, then we don't say smoke mute or the chazaka.
It's not like the Shrutz and the Sparzai, the Mute and the Rove exist independent of one another, right?
Take the Rove, well, that's the question, how to read the Gemara there, whether it's the Vade Maga and all that. But let's take Rove, Nashim, you know, Misabros, and Miut Mapilos.
Right, so then you get
the... So that is a case where the what? Where there's no contradiction between the Miut and the Rove. Or unless you're saying it the opposite way.
Yeah.
Meaning the Miut, you know, acknowledges the Rove.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're saying the same thing, but we're calling it the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I don't care about that. Meaning, it's whatever you want. Meaning, the idea is when the miut, and again, just to make it clear, the numbers again are totally irrelevant, right? Just like, by the way, in all these things, mostly the numbers are irrelevant, unless we know they are, like, you know, miut amatzi, miut chein amatzi. Kavua, the numbers are irrelevant too, right? We say kol kavua kamachza machza, or osham talui. You know, ikva yisur, right? There's nothing to do with the numbers. Like the same 90%, the same 60%, right? Here too, so you have, let's say, you know, you have a rove, and then, you know, within the acknowledged rove, there's an additional, there's a miut that is halachically consequential, but not factually contradictory. That's what I mean. Okay, you're just calling it the opposite. It doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong. It's just, right, so in that situation, right, you will say, smoke miyuta l'chazaka v'itra ruba, or whatever, because the consequences, there's no stira saying the rov and saying the miyut. The miyut is part of the rov. The rov is rov nashim mitzavos. Right? The miyut is chelek katan, right, me'elo she mitzavos mapilos. Very sad. Right? But that's not a stira to the rove, right? That's a reality beyond the rove. So there's no reason why the rove has to, you know, militate against, not mutually exclusive with the miut. So the miut is kayam, despite the rove, you know, on the battleground, right? The forces of rove don't eliminate this miut, right? So the miut, you know, but it's, since halakhically consequential, can attach itself to the chazaka. But if you have rov mitzuyin eitzel shkrita mumchin hein, and miut, you know, mitzuyin sheina mumchin, right, again, the numbers are the same. The halakhic consequences are the same. But at the end of the day, if we're endorsing and legitimizing, if we're validating the rove, right, then we are negating formally. This is a formal thing. That's what I was saying before. We're basically, it's you know, it doesn't allow for a chalos miut. That's the din. That's the halacha. Right. So again, there the Beis Halevi again raises this question. Like, would there be a difference between Rav Meir? This he's more inclined, interestingly, to think would be true even for Rav Meir, not just for the Chacham. That's interesting. Okay. And then the third issue is what? And also the Ritva. The Ritva mentions these two also, right? Is the idea that, well, Rav Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita, this is also the Mishmer Sabayas. Alex? Here you have a situation where even the miut doesn't necessarily mean halachically the opposite of the rove. Correct? So actually, it's almost like the parallel opposite of the previous one. Right. But for the same reason. Right. Meaning you don't... this miut is not going to be somech lechazaka because the miut could be true and the halachic consequences don't necessarily flow. Let's say he doesn't have any mumchius in shechita. It doesn't mean he can't get it right. If we knew he did it, we wouldn't rely on it. But it doesn't mean that it's not, you know, it's not miut mapilos. Right? But again, who cares in the end of the day? At the end of the day, shouldn't we just be, you know, prospectively worried about the kashrus of the basar according to the standards that we apply? But the answer again is, you know, that it's more than that. We're really trying to figure out whether or not, you know, there can be a tziruf between the chazaka and the miut. It's not the kind of miut you know, which is attachable. Because you can have the miut, and it still doesn't necessarily support the chazaka. Only a miut that supports the chazaka can band together with the chazaka. Right? Only a miut, it has to somewhat contradict the rov in terms of its consequences in a more fundamental way. Okay? So these are interesting other issues that come up. Okay. Kuti. We're going to have to stop. You know, this to get Kuti on the record, the Gemara is just for a second. I think we have 3 minutes left. Akiba, you should be the one to read, right? That way you can stop. So what do we got? We have, what do we know about Kuti? So from previous Gemaras, we don't have to go with that. We know that Kuti is a problem, right? Originally, the Gemara thought it was an Emanus problem, the Kuti. Say again? It's an Emanus problem, right? And what is an Emanus problem? Because he doesn't care about Lifnei Velasitei Nitshel, let's say. He doesn't feel a sense of Arvus, the Klal Yisrael. So we're worried that the Shkita might not be good, and he won't tell anybody. Oh, look, so one thing at a time. 100%. So the Gemara has this idea that Kuti, if it's Omid El-Gabov, Kuti's okay. Correct? And then there's a debate between Abai, let's just get the facts now for a second. There's a debate between Abai and Rava about... Hashgacha. Is Yotzev Nichnas good enough? Abai says that you need Omid El-Gabov, but Yotzev Nichnas is no good. Right? No good b'di'evet or no good l'chatchila? Say again? Machlokas. Between who and who? Where? 2 days in Tosas, right? Tosas Dibra Maschil Hameniach. Right? 2 days in Tosas here Hameniach on Gimel of an Aleph, whether or not according to Abaye, b'di'eved, even, like simple pshat in the Gemara, that even b'di'eved, Yotzev Nichnas is not reliable, right? Or only l'chatchila, the second day of Tosfos. Okay, so we'll have to think about that. So Kuti is not reliable in some respect. There seems to be a tikkun, and that is, you can give him to eat. If he'll eat it, that'll solve the problem. That's an interesting theory, right? Omid El-Gabov works, whether Yotzev Nichnas works is a machlokas between Abaya and Rav. Okay, the Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis, that's the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis elaborates a little more about this machlokas between Abaya and Rav. What does it tell us? This is the Gemara we saw right now. Let's review it for a second. That Abaya might distinguish between like the equivalent of Naga and Lo Naga. But Abaya will agree that sometimes Yotzev Nichnas is good enough, right? If the equivalent of lo noga, right? You just know, like you have an akum in a store, and there's yayin there, but we don't know that he touched anything, right? Then Yotzev Nichnas will be fine, right? But if it's the equivalent of mago, like shochet, have to see what Rashi says about that. If you get a chance to look at the Rashash also, but if you're shochet, which is like mago, then the Abaye says no, and Rava says yes. So we need to assess what's the difference between Yotzev and Nichnas, Omid El-Gabov. We'll talk about that. Then there's another machlokas, which you just alluded to, and that is what? Whether you need Bedika Sakin for a Kuti. Who talks about that? Excellent. Both. You're right on both. Tosis, the Ramban, and the Ritz. Closest here, Dibur Maschil, Bodek Sakim and Otsen Lo, says what? That you don't need Bedika Sakim for Kuti, only for Mumar. There's no reason that you need a Bedika Sakim for a Kuti, because it's included under the Mirtas, under the Umdana, right, of that you need anyway. so you don't need a separate Sodei Tzaken. And the Ritva on Gimel disagrees. The Ramban has two dates. So we need to understand those shitas. Okay? And we also have to integrate that. We're going to have start with that on Thursday with the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about Kuti and Hichziku and so on. The Gemara's conclusion on Davav, which is that they decided that all Kuti have the status of Akoi. We're not going to finish with this topic, but we'll see whatever headway we can make on it. I at least want to talk about Yotze V'Nichnas and the basic idea of Kuti and some of those Rambams. Let me ask a different question. Why is Kuti's Shkita Kshera at all? What are we saying about Kuti? According to the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph, we didn't read that yet, but... The Kuti b'zman hazeh we treat as a non-Jew. Right? So is Kuti still a halacha l'maisa category? I'm throwing a lot at you quickly, but because we have to finish. You want us to finish. But no, I know, I'm joking. What's the echo of Kuti b'zman hazeh? Aaron? What? You see any of the Rambams? Ellie? What's that? What'd you say? Oh, okay, the real Bizman said. Okay, Karayim. But earlier, Tzedukim. Who says that? The Rambam. Where? Yeah, and Abanim Vavav. So, basically what we're Tzedukim, Kutim, the early Kutim, before the Gzeira. We have to see about the scope of the Gzeira too. They didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? So their Shkita should be Gzeira? If you don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, so you're a perfectly good Jew, just you don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. They were massive on them. I'm asking a different question. This is actually Lecha Mishnah's question. Lecha Mishnah says, if you look at Hilchos Tshuva, Per Gimel, where the Rambam lists who's a min, who's an apikores, or somebody who's a min apikores, dino ka'akov. One of the things is that he doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. So why shouldn't the Kuti or the present day Tzeduki or the present day Karai, right? Why shouldn't Shkitaso be Psula like an Akko? Okay. So those are the things I want to talk about Thursday. I want to talk about Yotzei V'Nichnas. I want to talk about whether Kuti requires Bedikat Sakin. I want to talk about whether Abaya thinks it's Lekat Gila B'Dieved. And I want to speak a little bit about the different status of people. And then when we come back, we're going to do that whole massive topic, different levels of mumars, you know, across different areas of halacha. We'll try not to take too much time, but that's the next two or so dapim on that topic. Okay, so we'll continue then. We're good.